This episode is brought to you by our friends at Brooks Blooms, your all-in-one landscaping solution.
Brooks Blooms' three-step landscaping experience offers a seamless journey from design to construction and ongoing care, ensuring your outdoor space thrives year-round.
Visit brooksblooms.com today to embark on your landscaping journey, where every step is a step towards a vibrant and beautiful outdoor entertaining space.
G'day everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Ads and Dunks podcast. As always, brought to you by the Oz American Aces. It's Josh here and joining me on the line is my good mate, Adzi Treloar, down in Melbourne. How you going, mate?
Going well, mate. Well done on mentioning the Oz American Aces. I think last week I was poor at that and I didn't mention it at the start. So you nailed the intro there, even though it's been, we've done it 100 times. So, but no, going good, mate. It's cold here now, so the weather's definitely starting to change. You've got the heater blasting in the background. So, yeah, mate, going all right. How are you going?
I'm going good. I've actually got the aircon going, mate. It's been 30 degrees up here, so complete opposites to what you've got down there. But, hey, first thing I want to bring up, all right, and yep. I know a lot of people are going to talk about this.
Yep.
The A sign. So we want to just get a bit of clarity because I understand that in the moment of your game, which we'll touch on later, it was hard because you're not even thinking about it, to be honest. Oh, yeah.
No, mate, a couple of things were going through my mind. One of them was not to cramp because it was 5 minutes ago in the last quarter and I was absolutely gassed. So when Bakes gave me the ball, I thought for a split second to not kind of take the tackler on, and I actually took off and I thought, oh, I'm going to cramp here. So the last thing I was thinking about was the A sign, so I'm sorry. And then secondly, I just wanted to kick the goal. So I'm glad I kicked the goal and I'm very, very sorry once again that I didn't do the A sign. It is, yeah, as you said, it's in the scheme of the moment, it wasn't something that was crossing my mind.
I feel like it's, you know, we talk about it and we give each other a bit of shit about it if we don't do it, but it's hard in the moment because you're not really thinking about celebrating. Like normally it's just whatever happens, like instinct, you'll just throw the biceps yep. up, you know, your big biceps, mate. You love doing the double cobra.
But, I do.
The last thing that's crossing your mind in a moment like that is probably the A sign. So I'll let you off, and I know our fans will let you off too.
Thank you. I'm really sorry to the fans in particular. Not much you. I don't really care what you think, but I feel sorry. I feel sorry for the fans because they obviously sent in the messages, and we had a couple of clinics the day after the game, and I had some fans doing the A sign with me, and when we were getting photos mentioning the A sign. So sorry once again. Hopefully. We have a nice, comfortable lead this week against the Bombers, and I can get on the end of a goal, and then I'll throw up the A sign. I'm not going to promise anything because I've let you down twice already. So hopefully, I can do it this week, which means you have to do it as well. So
yeah, well, I feel like I honestly feel like what you just said then is good because you know when we're out and about celebrating with the or getting around each other with the A signs, completely fine. It's when we're playing in the heated battle. And, you know, you might be up by one or two goals or down by one or two goals and it's hard to actually think of it because you're thinking of so many different things. So if you're up by a lot, you have to do it. So let's make a rule. If you're up by a lot, you have to do it. If it's a close game, we'll let you off.
What are we considering a lot? How many goals? Five goals?
Five or six goals, yeah.
All right. Nah, deal. Deal. To the Oz American Aces and Ads and Dunks fans out there, I'm very sorry. We'll do it then. how was your week? You went to Adelaide early. So you had a pretty small week, I'd imagine. You didn't really do anything outside of footy, did you?
No, not a lot other than we came back Friday night after our game. And so we were here for the weekend. We got 2 days off over the weekend. So got to watch Kaiser play down at Morningside because the VFL had a bye with the state stuff going on in Adelaide. So, went watched him at Morningside and then went and watched the girls on Saturday night against the Sunny Coast Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And how was that? Can you touch on, I mean, the netball season is about to commence this weekend, which we're both excited about, but obviously Tipsy gets to play and Kim and Lara as well. So we're all very excited to see how they go. Can you touch on a little bit what you reckon, how they're going to go, you reckon?
Well, I honestly think like the first quarter on the weekend, they got blown out in the end, but in the first quarter on the weekend when they were having a fair income crack, I thought that they were pretty good and they were leading at quarter time. So against one of the teams, it's probably touted to go the whole way and they've recruited extremely well with, you know, Courtney Bruce and Liz Watson, two of the best players in the world coming to play for the Sunny Coast. So No, our girls did good, mate. I thought they, you know, Kimmy got her first run for quite some time, which was good to see.
Yep.
And the girls, yeah, they're just starting to gel. So be interesting to see how they go this week, round one against the Thunderbirds, Tipper's old mob.
That will be interesting. Can't wait to see. The big question is, did you see Georgie?
I did, mate. I did. It was so funny.
What did she do?
I got there and she was just like sitting there with Cena and facing the court. And then I sort of tapped her on the shoulder and she's turned around. She's like, Georgie.
She knows straight away. She's next time she's down here in Melbourne and she can jump on the potty with us, which is in a few weeks' time, I'll get her to sing that song that she – remember that Snapchat I sent you of her singing? She was making up a song about the Brisbane Lions and she's just singing about the Lions and Josh in it. And yeah, she's got a great imagination, that one. I can't wait to see what she's going to be when she's older. But no, that's good. That's good. What about what about from a footy sense? How did you find – not the game. I won't talk about the game yet, but the vibe in Adelaide. It's pretty cool getting involved with Gather Round and – walking around the city where, well, I think it's the city, but where they had that big inflatable footy.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Rundle Street Mall, I think that's it. I think it's called. Yeah, it was pretty cool. We stayed at the Peppers, which is actually in a really good spot, I thought. A lot of coffee shops and restaurants around. So the vibe was just, I feel like if you're explaining it to someone that hasn't been there, it's kind of like a grand final week kind of vibe. Like it's just that. Would you say that too?
Mate, I was walking down the street morning of the game with Buku and Eddie Richards and I said the exact same to Buku. So I was like, mate, like it's like, oh, it would have been like 9:30 and there's just footy fans everywhere. They're all wearing different jumpers. Mate, I'm running into I ran into a VFL squad. So Rourke Smith, who was playing for the VFL Sandful squad in that game that they had. I ran into Luke Shuey, who's coaching at West Coast. I seen a couple of Collingwood staff members. It was just everything. I seen a lot of people. So I couldn't agree more. I feel like it's like a grand final vibe.
Yeah, it's sick. I actually love it. I love the idea. I love that it's in Adelaide and, you know, everything there is so accessible for us as players to and staff. To go and have a look at or go, you know, experience because everything's so close in that city. And I loved it once again, mate. And the footy, obviously, we got a win, so it was nice to head home with that with the 4 points.
Yeah, I loved it too. What oval, did you play at the same oval last year? Or was that a new oval for you?
Nah, we played at Mount Barker last year. This year, we played at Norwood with the.
How'd you find it? The straight was that with the straight boundary line? How'd you find it?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I had a few people, we talked about the dimensions of the ground. We trained the dimensions of the ground before we flew down. Yeah, before we flew down. So it was it's an interesting one because you don't want to get caught too wide, but you say wide, but it's not really wide. It's sort of like center wing to a normal ground.
Yeah.
Just focus on using, you know, the full width as much as you can anyway. And being able to come through the corridor when you can. So little things like that really helped us.
That's cool. That's when I did see we're playing at Adelaide Oval, I mean, I'm not going to take that for granted because that experience is unbelievable. But I hope I get the opportunity to play at one of those grounds, either the it's called Adelaide Hill. No, sorry, Mount Barker.
Mount Barker.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'd love to. So seeing that game where they were doing the view from the helicopter. That was so cool. I thought that was sick. I would have loved to have, experienced that. It made me think if you were going to have a gather round in another state, where would you think outside of Victoria? What's the next state that you'd think?
Oh, it'd probably be a controversial answer, but I think what makes gather round is the footy fans, like the support that comes with it. And Adelaide's got a lot of footy fans. Like Adelaide's called kind of like a smaller Melbourne, like there's a lot of footy fans, and the only other state I feel like that's like that is probably Perth. Like they've got a lot of footy fans over there. But then in terms of growth and experience, I feel like up here or New South Wales would be good too. So yeah, I don't know. What would you think?
No, I could not agree more with you. I think I was talking to one of my mates who's not a massive AFL fan, and I said the exact same. Seriously, said the same thing. I said it's. You know, generally it's the fans that make it, and you know you're spot on with the South Australian fans. You know they love their AFL there. Everything's spoken about footy in the newspaper. The Sandful's in there, so I couldn't agree more. But I think from a growth point of view, I agree with the Queensland or New South Wales. I think just from the ground point of views, I'd say New South Wales. I think it'd be cool to play on you know, obviously he's got the SCG, but I'd love to again play on, what was that? I think it's called Telstra Stadium back in the day, but I don't think it's called that anymore. I think it's called maybe ANZ Stadium. You know, the one that at Olympic Park next to, what's the Giant Stadium called nowadays? I think it's just Giant Stadium. That one there, I think the AFL used to have rights to that. They don't anymore, but I played a couple games there early on in my career at the Giants, and that was a really, really cool atmosphere. So I think like being able to get that exposure would be pretty cool as well. So it'd be pretty interesting to see if eventually, you know, there's going to be talk about moving it to a different state, or not moving it, but just having experience in a different state, because I think players would be all for it, because as you said, it's pretty cool concept to gather around. And as you said, the vibe was really cool. So I loved it.
What about Tassie? Tassie's a good one. Very central. Yeah, well,
it is to most of the states, and it has a lot of stadiums. It would be pretty cool, but hey, they can't get everything at the moment. They've got a new team coming, so we might give Gather Round there a miss for a little bit, and then we can maybe go there in a few years' time. But I'll be long gone before then, I reckon. I'll be well and truly too old for that. What about your game on the weekend? Let's touch on your game. Unless there's anything you want to talk about that you did off-field, that's maybe a little bit interesting, probably not. A bit boring.
No, mate, let's just move into the games, I reckon.
You guys obviously got off the loss category, column, whatever you want to call it, and you secured your first win, which was, you know, a really good performance. I actually watched that whole game and, you know, I thought you individually were outstanding, and you had a lot of good players, but it must have been pleasing that you were able to win in the way that you won. And, you know, I know from a ladder point of view, people aren't going to you know, that may just say it was North Melbourne, but you know, and I know that no team is easy to beat. North Melbourne's best is really good. They've played some really competitive footy and they took it up to you early. How'd you feel post the game? You must be pleased that you guys were able to come away with a win in the manner that you did.
Yeah, I thought, you know, obviously over the course of the week and all the media scrutiny and stuff coming our way and everyone talking about us, it was a good response from the boys. And I think I said post-game to a few people, like, we knew that we weren't far away. It was just a few little things that we needed to tidy up. And I said on here last week, you know, that there's a little bit of that. And there's also the other stuff where it's just blatant turnovers where you can't defend. Yeah. So those little things, even against North Melbourne, I think if we had have made those mistakes, they would have cut us up too. So I think we really took it up to them. We played our brand, played our way for, you know, nearly, I would say, not quite 100%, maybe 95%, 90% of the game. So, yeah, it was nice to be able to be on the other side and get our first win. But I feel like against North, you've just got to try and win the contest. That's a really big element to their game and something that they like to control. So if you can really beat them in amongst the congestion and in the air, it goes a long way to winning.
Yeah, I agree. It looked like that as well. It felt like you were able to, I guess, limit them around the ball, which really helped you guys because your contest work and being able to get the ball forward is probably what makes you guys so bloody good. So, I couldn't agree more. And as you said, they've got some talent and, you know, you give any team an opportunity to score, they will. So, no doubt you're pleased. How does that now build for you guys, hopefully, going forward? I mean, that obviously gets you off the zero win column and now you've won a game and obviously you got a really, really good game this week, a big game against an undefeated Melbourne. How can you continue that momentum now going forward?
Yeah, it's a good question. I feel like nothing changes from our point of view. Like we, you know, I said last week that you continue to go to work, you do all the little things that you've always done because that's what sets you up for success ultimately. And our group's just been exactly the same this week. Nothing's changed from last week or the week before. So preparation and all that kind of stuff is always important. And no matter who you're playing the following week, that's all it's about. So getting yourself right, then obviously you're learning your role for the weekend and then what's going to happen there and playing your role. That's what we're looking to do this weekend. And it's going to be a huge game against the D's who have been undefeated after losing to the Swans in round zero. So that's one you forgot about.
Oh, yes, I am right. Maybe that's just how well they're going. Sorry about that. Well done, mate. But they are in fine form and they've had some two big scalps in the last week to beat. They beat Adelaide in Adelaide and Port Adelaide. They beat both South Australian teams, which is no easy feat over in SA, as you know. Last one, what about your body? We haven't touched on, you know, how you've found your, you know, it's five? Have you guys played five games? Yeah.
Four.
Yeah, so you're 4 games in now. Another 6-day break coming up. How are you feeling? How's your body feeling? How do you feel you're going individually? We haven't really spoken about individually how, you know, either of us are going from just a sense of the season now. How's it? Yeah, how are you feeling?
I actually feel quite good covering the ground, like probably better than what I've felt in the past. I think that's all due to the preseason that I sort of had, because I had a bit of ankle stuff at the end of last year. So I didn't start running until later. So my preseason has sort of gone, you know, on an incline rather than sort of up and then down and then up again. I feel like I'm covering the ground well. I've still got a bit of ankle stuff. You know, my thumb's in really good condition after surgery last year, and the rest of my body, other than my ankle, actually feels quite good. So I'm very fortunate there. And footy-wise, individually, I probably started a little bit like average, but still contributing, still playing my role. Just not, you know, I feel like last week was probably my best game against North for the year. Got involved, in and out of the contest. And was clean and allowed our boys to get on the outside and deliver inside 50. So a lot of my stuff happens in the trenches, mate, that not many people see. But yeah, pretty happy with the weekend, and hopefully now just continue that form into the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was leading to. I definitely feel like, and as you said, definitely not saying that you'd been you said average. I wouldn't say you've been average. I think you've been good. I feel like the game on the weekend was probably your best game so far this year, and hopefully it's the kickstart for you, you know, and you boys going forward. So that was kind of more where I was leaning towards.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, mate. What about you individually? Let's talk about you, because you don't like talking about yourself.
Nah, well, we'll touch on the game. So firstly, how's my nose? My little cut on my nose. Usually it's you. I mean, you've still got a little abrasion there, don't you? Because you had one last time, I think.
On this side. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. See, yours is probably from tackling and getting a finger poked in the eye. My one is from a falcon. I'm not sure if you've seen it. Did you see it?
I missed it. I don't know how I missed it.
Well, it wasn't. I went back and watched the footage, and thank God it wasn't. No doubt Brado cut it up, because it's clear as day. You see it. You just go re and watch it. You just see it. But it's just evolves in a play. So the play gets the priority, and me getting smashed in the nose, no one sees it. So it's like, whatever. So what happens is there's a stoppage, a boundary throw in, and I'm that player that comes through. So I've come to the front of the contest, and I kid you not, mate, it's like less than a meter away. The two ruckmen are running in, so the ball's dropped short, and I'm right there front and square, and bang, they both smash the ball down straight into my face, and then I turn around and just shake my head, and you see at the top of the screen I'm shaking my head, and then and then the play just unfolds and it goes away, and I'm like, whew, I hope no one's seen that, and then that was it. So yeah, mate, I copped a nice little falcon on the nose. It's fair to say it dazed me a bit, but it looks good, doesn't it?
Well, what kind of part of the footy was it? The string part of the footy that's got you, was it?
It must have been, mate. But it was hit with ferocity, mate. It was essentially punched down straight in my face, just bang straight in my face. So I thought I was in a good spot. I may have to talk to Chili about that, because Chili was the one who actually hit it. So, it's all good. I feel like it looks nice on me. I'm getting a bit lost. The game. It was a frustrating game. Well, frustrating result. Not a frustrating game. I mean, it would have been a pretty cool spectacle for the crowd. Felt like it was a up and down game, and you didn't know which way it was going to go. But from a result point of view, it's really disappointing. I mean, we always want to play well against the good sides, and that's probably what has been a bit of our downfall the last couple of years, and what people are super critical of us about is that, you know, we struggle against teams that are higher than us and, you know, who are contending teams. And Geelong is well and truly one of those teams. Maybe I thought the undefeated team with Melbourne was Geelong, because I know Geelong are undefeated and they're playing some great footy. I mean, they're so well drilled, and their game style suits how they want to play. If they can maintain the ball and control it, they can really, really cut you up. And I felt like they did that a couple times, and they did it with ease, which really hurt us. But I felt like off the back of our contest and what I've spoken about the last couple of weeks, in how we've won our last two games, being the back of contest work and pressure and source pressure and winning clearance and getting the ball inside 50. I felt like that's what really got us back into the game. And to be quite honest, we were dominant in that last quarter in being able to do that. I felt like if there was a little bit more time, we would have given ourselves an opportunity to maybe kick one or two more goals. So it's one of those ones where we walk away, you know, with plenty of areas that we're proud of, but plenty of room for improvement as well. And, you know, we looked over it a little bit on our review day, which was on Monday, and feel like there's some really good learnings going forward. So, yeah, one that was really disappointing, but one that we can learn from.
Take us into a bit of the review after. What are some of the things that you reckon you learnt from that game?
I think without going into too much detail, obviously, you know, the lips are sewn shut. Coaches would not like us going into detail. But I think the lapses in not concentration, I wouldn't say concentration. I would just say more so attention to detail in structural positions and where we need to be, kind of. And that's from a defensive point of view. So we know how Geelong want to move the ball, and that is kick mark till they can get as close as they can to essentially halfway across the ground. And then if they can get some run receive players to get the ball inside 50, they will. And they like to get it into the hands of their really good ball users like Brian Myers, who is, you know, probably the best inside 50 kick in the competition at the moment. He's so deceptive with how he kicks. Mitch Duncan, Max Holmes, these guys that we allowed to, I guess, control the ball in some moments that we shouldn't have. So I think from a review point of view, it was more so that because, you know, you look at our effort and, you know, as I said, our DNA, which is, you know, our contested ball and our clearance, we were really good in that area. So if we can just get our attention to detail a little bit better and more consistent, we'll give ourselves opportunities and we won't have to, you know, come from two or three goals behind.
Talk about also a few of your role players because, you know, Westy, I think, played on Tom Stewart and did a fantastic job from what I saw, and Jonesy dominated Hawkins. So at both ends, you know, you've really covered. And then your midfield, obviously, you're led by yourself and Bont and Libba. But how important are those roles?
Yeah, you're spot on with Westy and Jonesy. Obviously, you know, talk from the game is how much Libba and Bonty and the midfield dominated, which, you know, definitely felt like we – you know, we played really well and we really helped ourselves, but there's no way we do any of that with, you know, the roles, as you said, that Westy does. You know, Westy is someone that has fought tooth and nail to break into the side. And, you know, early on he was a midfielder forward and then went forward mid. And now he's essentially that forward who puts on pressure and is as hard as a cat's head and goes in harder, as hard as anybody I've ever played with. And I love playing with Westy. You know what you're going to get from him. You know how hard he's going to compete. And sometimes gets that role where he, you know, has to try and nullify the opposition's most influential defender. And he did a really good job again on the weekend. You know, someone that we definitely don't take for granted. And again, you touched on Jonesy, who, you know, it's just remarkable what he's doing at, you know, at his age and how he had a couple of years off and he's been able to come back and just fit seamlessly back into the game in the last couple of years and be, you know, arguably our most important player who, you know, is tasked with, you know, one of the hardest jobs week in, week out, and that is to stop the opposition best key forward. And the fact that he finds himself in that position and makes a play on a lot of the plays that get come into, you know, D50 for us, it's just incredible. So you're right, mate. It's something that we don't take for granted. Internally, we value the stuff that they do extremely highly. We value everything that they do and bring for us. And, you know, although they may not externally get the talk, internally they're highly regarded.
Yeah, it's good. Hey, one thing before we move onto your individual stuff, I want to start it with this thing that's Fox Footy have posted. It's the three-word analysis thing. So they've gone here. Bont, Libba, unassisted. I just want to say that is the biggest load of I don't know if I want to say it, but that is terrible because you, mate, you were one of you should have been. It should be Bont, Libba, Treloar leading the way.
That's
just a joke. And it takes me back to a couple of weeks ago when I was like, the commentators need to give you more. You need more recognition for what you're doing, mate. You had 37 touches.
kicked an important goal right at the end. You've dominated the game.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate it. I know you're just batting in for your best mate there. I appreciate that. But we let the commentators say whatever they want to say. But in fairness to Bont and Libber, they were incredible. I mean, Libber was one of the best games I've ever seen an individual play. I mean, he just fights tooth and nail, and you know what you're going to get from Bont. So, mate, I have no argument there. That's all good.
Nah, I have plenty of arguments. But let's talk about you individually, because I feel like you've started the year incredibly well, probably leading the best and fairest at the moment at the Bulldogs, I feel, because you're playing some footy that I feel like you really found what your strengths are, and going back to everything that you knew that you could do from an early age.
Oh, thanks, mate. I appreciate that. I definitely don't think I'll be leading the BNF. But no, in terms of, I guess, you know, how I'm feeling and whatnot, I mean, ideally, you know, we'd be 4-0 and not 2-2. I mean, I always just think it's hard being, you know what it's like, mate. You know, when you judge your performance, you're super critical of yourself more so in losses than you are in wins. And
yeah,
and I'm no different. I'm super critical. I get really flat and disheartened sometimes when, you know, there's moments in games where I know I can be a little bit better. And there's definitely moments on the weekend in the game, and there's definitely moments, you know, in the other games. But I think what I'm doing is I kind of know what is required of me, and a lot of that starts with just my energy. And you know, I think from a defensive point of view, being able to bring energy around the ball and work hard up and down the ground, and that's what I want to be able to pride myself on. And I think I can't do that, or I can't be that without, you know, without Bont and without Libber and without Harvey Gallagher and you know, Riley Sanders and the support of the wingers as well. So, you know, they help me, you know, bring my best, and I like to think that I'm doing that for them as well. So, we're still searching, mate. As you know, we're still searching. We're still looking for our best footy, and there's still so much room for improvement from all of us, not just myself, but from all of us. And hopefully, we can keep, you know, playing well as a midfield group, because we know that that is what helps us win games of footy. So we've got a good challenge this week, but a good challenge for the rest of the year as well.
What is something that you're still looking to improve in terms of your game?
Oh, mate, there's a lot. I mean, I think there's a million things that come into my mind.
Yeah, just one.
What do I want to improve? What is the one area that I want to improve? I think.
So you're dominating, so you don't have an answer.
No, it's the other way, mate. There's many things I want to improve that are going through my mind. I think having the balance between being able to use my legs and surging the ball from a contest. So that would probably be my thing. I think I still have the ability to use my legs a little bit more than what I do sometimes. I might feel there might be a little bit of perceived pressure, or, you know, wanting to get the ball forward where I should use my strengths. And yeah, I think that's probably the one thing I want to keep focusing on. And I'd actually like to kick more goals. I feel like I get really good opportunities, but I haven't been able to nail them this year. I haven't been able to nail a couple of ones where I've, you know, had a, you know, run inside 50 and had a shot. So that's something that I'd like to do as well. That is a good question, though. What about you? What is something that is, you know, that is motivating you to get better for yourself individually?
Mine's probably similar to yours, and it's, you know, being able to, you know, kick goals and set shots. You know, I had one on the weekend, which is far out, but you know, I probably didn't hit it as well as what I would have liked, but creating those opportunities for myself to be able to get forward and take, you know, contested marks or just marks in general and kick goals is, I feel like that's what everyone, you know, every midfielder wants to be able to do, is hit the scoreboard and have an impact in that way in their game. Because I feel like I do a lot of my games based around my defense, and to be able to get a bit of a lick of the ice cream every now and then up forward is nice. So that's something that I'm looking to improve over the coming weeks. And I did some work today actually with Brucey and Daniel Lloyd, who's come from the Giants. So yeah, done a little bit of goal kicking stuff, and I have been throughout the journey, but it's just probably more focusing on that and my contested marking at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like that is, you know, you'd probably get a little bit more recognition. I mean, that's why I feel like you don't get as much as you probably deserve, more so because you just, yep, you know, your last year at the Bulldogs, you kicked how many goals? Like 17 goals? 18 goals?
I think I kicked 19, yeah.
19, there you go. So I feel like, yeah, that is something. And don't worry, mate. Every time you were getting a shot, when you had that set shot on the weekend, I was on the phone to Kim and Lara and Tipper at the time, and we were, come on, Josh. And then obviously you didn't kick it. So, no, we're riding that with you, mate. Before I move on from my game, it was rude of me not to mention our rising star this week. So, Sammy Darcy.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention Sam Darcy. So, that's two weeks in a row for us. Harvey Gallagher held the title at the club for a week, so now he has to pass the Sammy. Yeah, super proud of him and super proud of how hard he's had to work to, I guess, cement a spot in the side and, really showcase his best footy. I mean, we've seen the talent. You've seen the talent as well, your last year here. You've seen how talented he was, from a footy sense. But it was more just being able to get himself fit enough and, he had some injuries where they really set him back as well. So for him to now be in his third season and, he showed some good footy over the last 2 years to now come in and play. I think that was his second game he come in and played this year and have the impact that he had. It is tremendous. And, so pumped to see what he can deliver week in, week out because his upside is as good as most that I've seen and I've given big raps to, Riley Sanders and a few others, but yeah, his upside is enormous as well. And, his ability on his left side, his ability on the ground, his ability in the air is incredible. So big raps to Sammy Darcy.
Yeah. I saw someone come out and say, that he's the next big thing. I agree with him. I agree that he's going to be one of the unicorns of the competition. I feel like he's, when you said rolls onto his left foot, he can roll onto his left foot and pull a 45 straight inside without any issues at all. So, yeah, well done to Sammy. And as you said, I spent a couple of years with him and even when he was coming through the father-son stuff, it was good to be alongside him. So all the best for what holds all the future that is coming for him at the Western Bulldogs.
That's it. Could be the Victor Wembanyama of
the unicorn
of the AFL. Yeah, true. But speaking of Victor Wembanyama, did you see his new logo?
Well, Nike released something, but I don't know if they're meant to release
it.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
You know what I think about? I'm watching this show on Netflix at the moment called Three Body Problem. And it's got aliens in it. And that alien thing just reminds me of that show for some weird reason.
It does, mate. It looks like an alien, which is, it is a little bit unique, but it is pretty cool that Wemby's. He's getting his own, which is no surprise because he's absolutely, mate, he should win Defensive Player of the Year, but let's not talk about basketball. Let's, before we preview our games this week, anything catch your eye this week in terms of the AFL, like just the results or anything? There's surely something. I know something would have.
I always watch footy and I watched a bit over the weekend because I had a bit of time, but there was a couple of games that I was, watching quite closely at the end. And one was the Freo-Carlton game and what happened there. And
give us your thoughts, mate. I'll let you talk. I'm not talking about that.
Nah, I just think it's crazy. Like, the Carlton at the moment are the team that's winning those close games, similar to Collingwood last year and the year before. So I feel like they're the new Carlton's the new Collingwood in terms of the luck is going their way almost. Like everything that happens, it just falls their way. And they got another really important win over the Dockers the Dockers are going really well. And like I said last week, we've played them early in the year and they're good. And it was I feel like they would have been really disappointed to lose that one because they would have gone undefeated, which would have been important for them.
Yeah. I read this thing. I don't know who said it. Someone in the media said something about they may as well get rid of the, so say you kick it, and it gets smothered kind of and someone marks it, just call it a mark.
Going from the vision that's coming out of what happened at the end of that game. Well, yeah, I mean, it should have been play on. It was touched twice.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I didn't actually – we were playing obviously and we seen the last 30 seconds, whatever it was. But prior to that, I went out and quickly had a look at the score and it was like 9 points. And I said to someone inside, I was like, Freo are going to win. And then, and the fan at Carlton won. And I was like, whoa. I watched it afterwards. And, it's interesting. It is interesting. And you're right. You'd be pretty disheartened, knowing that that's how you lost. Could you imagine, though, if that was suddenly a rule, like smothering it and you've marked it, it's a mark?
It can't be. I think I think if there's – so, like, say there's a mark paid inside 50 with all this review system that we've got, surely they could, within that 30 seconds before someone has a set shot, surely in that time they could have reviewed it and been like, righto, that was touch, let's ball it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, probably. But it's probably not a rule or anything. So, but no, I maybe going forward, that's what they do. Like, someone floated captain's call. Would you, yeah, what do you think cool. of that?
Love that.
You actually,
love that.
Really? Wait, yep. so you're, how, all right. So who took the mark? Was it Cottrell? Was Cottrell right?
Cottrell, yep.
So you're saying Cottrell takes the mark, the umpire calls it. What, the opposition captain, which would have been Alex Pierce, he comes flying down and he says, no, I want to challenge that.
Yep.
And
ref, you'd I want to challenge it. stop play. Then they go upstairs and it's reviewed. And if he wins the challenge, it's ball up. Play on.
Mate, that would just be insane, because that kind of leads me into what he's spoken about a lot at the moment, and that is the goal scoring review. There seems to be one freaking every couple minutes. Like, it's just happening all the time. There was one on the weekend, yeah. I think, in our game where it was a clear goal. I was walking back to the centre bounce and they reviewed it. And, you know, anyway.
They are, to their credit, they are doing it a lot quicker. Like, it's happening quicker. As soon as the arc sees it or whatever, it's like, ah, let's go to the scoreboard, whatever. Like, it's not as drag. It doesn't drag on for as long.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, there's still so much room for improvement. What about any of the games? Did you watch the – so remember how I said last week the battle of the – not the battle, just the teams that stay undefeated. There's now Geelong undefeated. That's obviously our game. Yep. Who's the other? Carlton undefeated. And who's the other team? There's three teams.
Giants.
All right, so you've got to – you've got to rank them now for me. So last week we did a ranking of the undefeated teams. Give me your – so there's only three now. Give me your 1, 2, and 3. Yep.
I'm going to say Giants, Geelong, Carlton.
Really?
Giants, Geelong, Carlton. Ooh. Yep.
I'm going to say Giants – you know what? I'm going to agree with that. Giants, Geelong, Carlton. I'm going to agree because I think Geelong
– it's hurts.
Yeah. I know it hurts, but – but their footy is – Geelong's footy, I want to just mention, it's crazy because they won the flag 2 years ago and didn't make the finals last year. And then, you know, barring a couple of players that have gone and come in and out, they've kind of got the same team. Not the same team, but they've got a lot of players who played in it. And it just shows in a system and well-coached, you know, role players across the field, got some stars and class across the field. It shows how good you can play. And they play such a good brand of footy and they're a very, very, very good side. I rate them very, very highly. They're going to be hard to beat all year. So, yeah, it's a good ranking. Anything else, mate, before we preview our games?
Nah, I don't think so. Other than, actually, the boxing. Did you see the boxing?
Oh, I didn't see it, but I seen some results. Did you watch it?
Mate, we were watching it hard because Mitchie Robbo was in that last one of the last fights against Kane Pettifer, I think. And yeah, it was the boys were all cheering him home. It was funny as. Jeez, it was funny.
Wait, so you would have been at your hotel, yeah?
Yeah, we literally just got to Adelaide, sorry, and we're watching it in the hotel after dinner. It was great.
Oh, so did you watch all the bouts or was it only Robbo's bout?
No, I watched all of them. So Kane Corns, Swanee versus Daisy Thomas. Like, it was funny as, mate. It was so good.
How I used to see Pebs at Anthony Rocker. So call him, obviously his nickname's Pebs. He's a good boxer and I didn't see the fight, but I know he won pretty comfortably, didn't he?
He KO'd him.
Did he?
Knocked him out.
Jeez, I actually didn't hear that. He actually knocked him out. Did you, would he be the one that you would probably be, yeah, I'm not getting in the ring with him?
Oh, mate, absolutely. Look at the size of him. Mind you, Swanee was very, very good. He knew he could have – I feel like he was holding back against Daisy
Thomas.
He could have – mate, he could have leveled him, I reckon, early on.
What was the – with your boxing expertise, what was your favorite bout? Who was the best bout?
Oh, geez. The best one. Probably Robbo. I mean, Robbo was – he was surprising and he was quite good. He was actually quite good. I feel like he's going to keep going from yeah, this level and how good he was.
He looked pretty – I seen a photo of him. He looked ripped as.
Yeah, he's been in the gym with Reese the Beast Matheson.
I did see that. I did see that. That's maybe in what? Let's say, how old are you? You're 4 years younger than me, so you're 27. Let's say 10 years' time, you'll be retired. I'll be well and truly retired. We can tee up a boxing bout.
You versus me?
Yep, you might have a couple of these all over you.
I'd do that. I thought you were going to say if I had to fight someone else, no way. I'd fight you though. Easy.
I'd love to box you. I'd love to. All right, easy deal. You heard it here first. 10 years' time, we'll have a boxing charity event. We'll preview our games, and then I want to. Brado's been great. He's been keeping our tips because we've been really lackluster. We'll actually say our tips this week, but we'll preview our games. Your game, obviously, Thursday, we're Friday. So we'll start with yours. You've got a you've got a ripper, absolute ripping game against Melbourne, who are absolutely flying. They're going to be a very hard team to beat at the MCG. Talk about how you're feeling.
No, excited. I think that's the main word. It's we've had a disappointing start to the year, you could say. And it's nice to be back on the winners list, but this week's going to be a huge test for us, as you mentioned, against a team that's in really good form at the moment. So for us, it's it's just getting back to, I felt like we got back to the way we wanted to play last week and continuing that form now into the rest of the season. And it starts this week with Melbourne. So going to be an exciting challenge for us getting down to Melbourne for the first time this year. And can't wait to play on the MCG, where last time we played there, we were, unlucky 4-point losers. So look forward to that challenge and can't wait to get stuck in.
I'll be, cannot wait for that one. Obviously you talk about Melbourne and it's, first thing that kind of comes up is how good their midfield is, with Petrarca, Oliver Viney, Max Gawn. Firstly, how do you feel like you're going to combat those guys in there? Because I feel like they're the fire starters for him, and they're the ones who really get their, really get their game going. And secondly, could we see you potentially, be a little bit closer on, rather than it just being a pseudo tag, maybe a little bit closer on maybe a Petrarca or an Oliver?
I'm not sure yet. Potentially throughout the night, I'm no doubt that I'll be standing next to one of those two because they are probably their most dangerous. And mind you, saying that, Jack Viney has been really impressive this year. I feel like he's taken his game to another level. I remember watching him. I watched him last week against Adelaide. I watched him against you boys. He's breaking the paint, kicking goals from 50. So he's one that we're going to have to look out for as well. So, it's going to be a great challenge, and the midfield battle is going to be where it's probably won and lost, because that contested ball element is going to win the territory. And then, both teams like to play a forward half type of game. So, that's going to be the challenge for us, but we're looking forward to obviously being there and hopefully putting up a good fight.
Can't wait to watch. Just make sure you bring your jacket, mate, because it's not 31 degrees here like it is in Brisbane. It is absolutely freezing. And hopefully you get a little bit of spare time so we can see each other, because we actually haven't seen each other in a bit. So I'm looking forward to watching you play, mate.
Yeah, likewise, mate. You're on Friday night, so fill us in. How you think you're going to go against the Bombers? I think you've won the last 9 out of 10 games I've seen against the Bombers. Bombers fans have been – I've seen this post going around where they've been posting oh, no, not the Bulldogs again.
Well, hopefully that's the same thing as the weekend's game. I'd like to think, we can – continue to play the way we've been playing. I mean, we didn't win on the weekend, as I touched on before, and don't want to go into too much detail again, but – I feel like off the back of our contest stuff, we give ourselves a really good opportunity just to fine tune a couple more things. And, other than the game the Bombers played on the weekend where they were overrun in the second half, they've been playing some really good footy, great footy, very, very good footy. They're strong around the ball. They're very daring with their ball. They move their ball really fast off half back. So we can't, not that it's been something that we've struggled defending in the past, but teams that do move the ball super quick, we've been kind of inconsistent with being able to stop that. So that's clearly going to be a focus for us. I feel like the contest side is, as you touched on, is going to be another big one for us there. The power midfield probably, it's fair to say, got a hold of the Essendon midfield in the game on the weekend. So we're fully expecting, you know, the Bombers midfield to really come hard at our midfield group and really take it up to us and really set the tone in there. So really looking forward to the game. I love playing at Marvel, as I said previously. And, you know, we get a really good turnout there. Our games against the Bombers always get good turnout as well. So, you know, hopefully it can be an 8-point weekend for the both of us, mate.
Yep, fingers crossed, mate. I look forward to kicking back, hopefully after a W on the Thursday night, watching you boys on the Friday night. So it's going to be a huge week for both of us. And, yeah, two wins would be nice.
Will be nice. So we're just going to presume, well, because I'm tipping Brisbane. And who are you tipping? Are you tipping the Bulldogs or Essendon?
No, I'm tipping the Bulldogs by – I'd tip Bulldogs by a bit, to be honest.
Okay. We'll go. All right, we're gonna read our tips out. So Collingwood and Sydney have a bye this week, so don't worry about those. GWS v St Kilda at Manuka Oval.
GWS.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. They're as you said, they're number one on our power rankings at the moment. Carlton. Ooh, this would be an interesting one. Carlton v Adelaide at Marvel Stadium.
I'm gonna tip an upset, and I'm gonna tip the Crows.
Mate, that is a big. Big statement. I mean, I'm going Carlton. I've got to go difference here. And their footy's been good. The Gold Coast versus Hawthorn at People First Stadium. Who are you going?
Yeah, Gold Coast.
I'm going to say Hawthorn.
Yep.
Port Adelaide, Fremantle at the Adelaide Oval.
Actually, I'm going to tip Freo.
No. I'm going Port Adelaide. That'll be a great midfield battle for what it's worth. Geelong v North Melbourne at GMHBA.
Geelong.
Same. And then Optus Stadium, West Coast versus the Richmond Football Club.
Ooh. Interesting. I'm going to say Richmond just because I feel like you'll say Richmond.
I'm going to say Richmond as well. I think their footy's been good as well, even though they didn't win on the weekend. For what it's worth, mate, see Harley Reid had the, I think, second highest broken tackle game. That's unreal. He looked really good too. It was a good game by him.
There's no doubt he's going to be a player.
Oh yeah, he's going to be a star. Is there anything you want to touch on for the footy this weekend, or can we move on to our two little segments that we do, where we show a little love to some player and our Brooks Bloom of the week?
No, mate. I reckon we should move on to it.
All right. Well, we'll start with the Brooks Bloom of the week. Our favourite segment. Thank you, Brooke, as always. We love you. We love having you on board. You're an absolute superstar. Hopefully I can win for you this week, because I know you would have been really upset with the Bulldogs not winning on the weekend, Brooke, so sorry about that. My Bloom of the Week, I actually don't think I've gone. Have I? From what I can remember, I don't think I've done a footy Bloom of the Week yet, so I'm going to do one this week. And I know you're going to just say I'm being biased, but my Bloom of the Week is Tom Liberatore. And the reason why I'm saying, I was going to go Connor Rosie because he played an unbelievable game. One of the best games of footy I've seen. But I'm going to say Tom Liberatore because I was out there with him. To have 19 clearances and 28 contested possessions, which is, I think, top four in both categories in the AFL, in the history of the AFL, is just remarkable. And the fact that, you know, we both love Libbo, love him very much. He's the heart and soul of my footy club. And you obviously, you know, love him dearly as well. The fact that he's getting better and, you know, still playing at the level that he's playing, and he's such a barometer for us, mate, it is just incredible. His game on the weekend was just, outstanding. So he's my Bloom of the Week.
I love that, and love Libbo, and congrats to him because he just signed a one-year deal too. So great to see he's sticking around for another year at least. His knees, mate, must be cooked. I don't know how he does it, the big fella.
We joke about it. We always say, you know, he'll keep signing one-year contracts till he's 40 because he can just play center bounce. He'll be 40 years old and they'll say to him, mate, just go to center bounce. Don't even leave the center bounce. Just play as a center bounce player and that's it. That's how good he is. But no, you're right, mate. He's a superstar.
He is a superstar. Well, my Bloom of the Week, I'm going outside of footy because I said at the start of the year that I was going to try and look at a few different things, and this is in your field. So I'm wondering if you've seen this.
Yes.
WWE and Jason Kelce.
No, I haven't seen that.
What? You haven't seen it?
No. I've seen – what are you referencing? What did he do at WrestleMania?
Yeah, the WWE WrestleMania thing.
Wait, what did he do? I didn't see
he it. Got in the ring. He was proper doing it.
He was proper doing it. Like, oh no, I was too busy worried about my man, The Rock, jumping out there and wrestling, because The Rock headlined WrestleMania. But mate, that is an unbelievable bloom of the week. What'd you think, mate? So that would have been the first time he watched it. Did he?
Yeah, he had his mask on. Yeah. And I've seen his clip and I'm like, hang on a second. That looks like Jason Kelsey. And then at the end, he rips his mask off and everyone's like, ah, it's Jason Kelsey. So he's my bloom of the week.
That's a good one. That's because the WrestleMania was in Philly. So not sure if you buy into the storyline too much. I'm going to touch on WrestleMania a little bit here because there's a really, really cool story. Roman Reigns held the title for, I think it was 1,316 days. Which is, how many years is that? Is that like 4 years? Brado probably whispered in my ear, but it's about 4 years. So, Joshy, he held the title for 4 years.
Yeah.
And there's a guy named Cody Rhodes who, his old man, Dusty Rhodes, is a legend of wrestling, never held a heavyweight title, never held a title. So Cody Rhodes wrestled Roman Reigns at WrestleMania just yesterday and actually won the title. So it was a really cool storyline. My boy, The Rock, was in it, mate. It was unbelievable. The Rock was a heel in it. So a heel in wrestling terms is a villain. And, oh, mate, he was an absolute star of a villain. So thanks for bringing that up, mate. That's good by you.
Yep. Well, I thought you might like it because I was like, oh, I'll get around this, see if Ads likes it.
Well done. That's been my favorite bloom of the week. Well done. You nailed that one.
thanks.
I'll start with this one because I always put you on the spot with this, but you're a bit of love for a player. My one is Blake Hardwick from Hawthorn. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I've never done this before and, you know, I feel like it would be one of the hardest things to do, and that is to move from a defender to a forward and be able to have an impact the way that you do. And he, not only from the weekend, he had 15 touches and kicked 4 goals, but it was a massive reason why Hawks were in it. But his body of work over the 4 games as, you know, as kind of a swing man, like he's gone back a bit. In the Geelong game, he went back, but he played early forward. So his ability to go forward and have an impact is something that is invaluable for teams. So for him to be able to have the impact that he has had and what he did on the weekend was, yeah, he's the guy that I want to give a bit of love to this weekend.
I like it, mate. My guy, seeing as though you've put it on my mind, is Charlie Comden from North Melbourne Footy Club. So he broke his leg pretty badly. Oh, I'm going to say, I can't remember what, I've actually got it here, the 1st of May last year.
Yep.
So he's, yeah, and he's come back, and I was chatting to him after the game on the weekend. He had 25 touches on Friday. And playing as a key defender, one of his first games down back, it was pretty impressive. And he's actually a local boy from where I'm from, Sale areas. So, yeah, getting around him this week because I thought he played a really good game. And despite being under a lot of pressure with our forwards and, you know, entries and stuff like that, he really stood up and played a really ripping game of footy.
Yeah, I agree. I'll tell you another one in that game, actually, for what it's worth, for North, is Zane Dersma. He's talented.
He's going to be a player too. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be very, very good. He took some nice grabs. So he's just, his ability to fly for the ball was really nice. So, no, I like
him. He's another Gippsland boy, mate.
Yeah. I know that. The Dersma family out that way. They've got actually really good sporting family, don't they?
They do. Well, Xavier Dersma plays for the Bombers. Zane's now at North. Their old man played at, I can't remember where he played. Hawthorn, maybe. And. Not sure. And the son, there's another one coming through that's going to be potentially number one next year.
Yeah, I heard. And they've got a sister as well who is in the AFLW, I believe.
Yeah.
What an unbelievable family. But, yeah, well done. That's it, mate. But you've got a little giveaway. You were mentioning a giveaway. You're the star of that.
I am. So we're doing our giveaway, as we mentioned last week. Thanks to Brooke and the team for sorting this out. We've got some merch that we want to give away. So we're going to do little packs each week. So this week, the question is, you got to comment on our YouTube channel on this video of this podcast, who Adzi caught up or saw on the game day in Adelaide. So who he saw, he mentioned it in the pod. So make sure you go out there and write and comment, and then we'll be able to pick one, whoever gets it right. So there's going to be a number of answers, but we'll pick a winner at the end of the day.
I like it. I cannot wait to see the answers and pick the winner. Actually, before we end the pod, again, a root of us. We always think of this stuff. I always think of stuff that we should talk about whilst we're talking. Lachie Neal's 250th this week.
I just thought of that too, to be honest.
Yes. Lachie Neal's.
Yeah. Very, very rude of us. Huge, massive milestone. I know he probably would have wanted it to be last week because it's Adelaide in his hometown, but this week's a great opportunity and exciting opportunity for him to play his 250th at the MCG, you know, the Coliseum of an Australian sport, I feel. And yeah, it's massive. He's been an ultimate player for such a long period of time, and I'm very fortunate to be able to play alongside him now. I know you know, hold him in high regard in terms of an opposition player and always have and always will. So, yeah, all the best to Lock this week. Lucky to be able to run out there alongside him each week and do our business together. So congrats to him.
Well said, mate. Absolute superstar. And we were drafted in the same year, technically, because we played debuted against each other. So I've had a lot of good battles against Lock, and you could tell how much of a star he was going to be from his early days at Freo to, you know, now a two-time Brownlow medalist and captain of the footy club. So, yeah, well done, Lockie. Hopefully he goes well, which he will. He started the season off incredibly well. So, yeah, all the best, Lock.
Good work, Azzy. Like it, mate. That's it. All done. Are we done and dusted?
That is, mate. I've got about a minute left in this NFL 2 Madden game I've got to play. So hurry up and end it so I can play.
All right. Well, we'll end it there. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll see you all next week.
Thank you. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Brooks Blooms, your all-in-one landscaping solution.
Brooks Blooms' three-step landscaping experience offers a seamless journey from design to construction and ongoing care, ensuring your outdoor space thrives year-round.
Visit brooksblooms.com today to embark on your landscaping journey, where every step is a step towards a vibrant and beautiful outdoor entertaining space.